Thank you, Brother Tommy, for leading us in our singing today. All of you that have participated with us today, thank you for doing that. We know you do that as a goodness out of your heart. We appreciate that so very much. Isn't it great to be a Christian? It's always a great privilege for us to be together. We're always thankful for that. Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And everybody together can say amen, because that's exactly what the Scripture says to us in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, verses 20 and 21. I'm just going to go to my invitation. Bobby preached the sermon. You know I'm lying about that. I'm sorry, Lord. I shouldn't have said that. No, I intend to say things that I want to say. I want to say that as I begin, there are so many passages in the New Testament, the teachings of Jesus, that I don't mind saying to you that at my age and my years of longevity and preaching and all of those things included, that I still struggle with them the way I think you probably struggle with them, because of Jesus's total love for mankind. And I'm saying that because I don't want you to think that as I preach to you what is the truth of the Scripture that we're going to read, that somehow or another that I've arrived or that I know how. I'd like to say to you, I have the solution. I know exactly how to do this. But you know, you should know by now, that living the Christian life is a life of evolvement into learning to love the Lord. That's why we sing the songs that we do. That's why we meet together as we do, so that we can encourage each other as we go through our life to continue to be faithful to the Lord Jesus. That loving feeling. I'm going to use Luke chapter 6 as my go-to scripture. This is the place where we will read. There are other spots where these passages or these words of Jesus are recorded in the other Gospels, in Matthew and again in Mark. But we're going to use Luke today. And I want to instruct you to say that we're all progressing in our lives, hoping to live up to what the standard of the Lord actually is. Jesus says, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you." That may seem somewhat of a contradiction even as you're reading it, as he's starting out. But he says, "For their fathers," the ones who say well or say you're doing good or patting you on the back, "used to treat the false prophets in the same way." Now, you've probably heard of a yes man, and that's the way we're going to go through this, because I want you to understand the importance of what Jesus is saying to us. And that some people will agree with just about everything. Depending on what crowd they're with, they may agree with this, and they may go to another crowd and agree with the very opposite thing. Jesus says they treated even the false prophets this way. "But I say to you who hear," don't overlook the importance of this. This is the idea of grasping what he's saying. "I say to you that hear, who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. I don't know how many of you in this group, you older ones, know that song. I'm told that You've Lost That Loving Feeling has been played on the radio more than any other song ever. It has gotten more airtime. I'm just going by all the internet experts. I don't know that for certain. But to say that the song has been extremely popular is maybe an understatement. And it's a song that says, you never close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips. That's the very first opening line. And there's no tenderness like before in your fingertips. And you're trying hard not to show it, but baby, I know it. You've lost that loving feeling. Oh, that loving feeling. That's been drummed into our heads. And as a human being, it makes really good sense. And I'm going to say to you at the beginning, there is no question that love is truly a feeling. That's right. There are feelings about love. These boys recorded that song in October of 1964. They called themselves the Righteous Brothers. If you read anything about their life history, you'll know that Bill Medley and Bobby Hatfield were not righteous. I don't know where they came up with that word, except that it was a byword during that period of time, and everybody was saying, man, that's righteous. Using that as some way of describing what was going on, the Righteous Brothers, they weren't really even brothers, except in the mankind sense. That ranking down there that says number 34, the Billboard people say that this song is ranked as the number 34 song out of the top 500 ever. Maybe if you aren't old enough to remember the 64 year when it actually came out in 65, and some of you are not, maybe you saw it later on. It was a feature song. It wasn't the song that was the theme song in Top Gun, where Tom Cruise played a naval pilot. And maybe you saw that, and maybe you saw that or heard the song from there. This is the human view of love, that love is a feeling, and that somehow or another, when that feeling is lost, love is over with, and it promotes that whole thing. The sermon is not about this song. The sermon is about the teaching of Jesus. In fact, that's not what I just read to you from what Jesus said love actually is. It's not even anywhere close to how Jesus is defining what love is really or actually all about. The older I get, the more I recognize how difficult it is to fulfill the teaching of Christ. To do, I mean literally, to participate in what he has taught. There are so many verses in the Bible that I'm going to call paradoxical. Contrary, if you will, in other words, to human thinking. Paradoxical is like the same thing, only different. That made sense to you, didn't it? You heard somebody say it. Or the old expression, well, we went to different schools together. Think about that one for a minute. I'm not being glib. I'm trying to say to you that when Jesus says, love your enemies, love your enemies. Think about it. Love your enemies. Pray for them who persecute you. Love the people that treat you, or excuse me, mistreat you. In fact, when they reach out to do something to you and they smote you, well, just offer them another cheek or another opportunity. Did you ever hear, don't go near the water till you learn how to swim? My grandmother said that and just made me so angry. Because I was wanting to go to the water and I didn't know how to swim yet. And so that would be what she would say. Did you ever hear somebody say, nobody goes to that restaurant because it's too crowded? What? I think when you drive by a place and a whole bunch of people are there, you say, that's the place, let's go. You may not want to wait in line, and I don't, because I've been in the service. I figured when I got out of the Navy gym that I was done waiting in line, because I'm not doing that again. I'm wrong about that. I'm wrong about it, because if you want what's really good or what's really popular, you have to wait in line for it. Because people are standing in line for that. Well, there's no line, I guarantee it ain't no good. I mean, it's just mediocre. That's why there's nobody in line for it. You've lost that loving feeling. How have we bought into that whole kind of thing? How do we make that match up with what God is trying to teach us? When we read these passages that, well, they're just so difficult. The more I read them, the less I seem to know about how to go about approaching them. The older I get, I would think that I would be getting better at this. The older I get, the more difficult I realize what Jesus was saying is to do. It's tough to do. It's tough to do what he has said. And, you know, when you've got the world around you telling you all of these other things. I didn't live in other times, so I can only just take my reference from the time I've lived in. And it would seem to me that there is, I've never known of a time where it was more difficult to try to decipher or wade through what is truth and what isn't truth. I'm just talking in a general sense. What somebody says or what somebody else says, somebody else is walking back over here and telling you that's not correct. We're influenced by that kind of thinking. When Peter was writing in his second letter, Chapter 3, and in verse 16, he states this. He says, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you, this is Peter talking now, with the wisdom that God gave him. And he writes the same way in all of his letters, speaking in them of these matters. This is at verse 15 and 16, by the way, chapter 3. And his letters contain some things that are hard to understand. Anybody want to say amen? Hard to understand. And ignorant and unstable people, in the New American Standard, it uses the word distort, but the Greek word literally means twist, as they do the other scriptures to their own description. That's a very real danger in not believing what the scripture says. Now let me explain that to you from the way I'm feeling about it. It's hard to understand what's being said to us an awful lot. But I know this, that when we're told to love God and to love our neighbor and to love ourselves and to love our enemies, those are very straightforward statements. I mean, you don't have to run around and look up definitions of those little short sentences. Fairly simple, but they are very pointed and difficult to carry out. We're told that all scripture, of course, is given God breathed, I'll put it that way, given to us out of the mouth of God. It's profitable for our teaching or our doctrine, says 2 Timothy 16 and 17. It's good for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the people of God, the man of God, may be perfectly furnished or thoroughly furnished unto every good work, no matter what it might be. Maybe that's why Timothy was saying in chapter 2, study, show yourself approved unto God as a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright or rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. When Jesus writes in Matthew 6 and says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, all of these things will be added unto you. Remember that, Jim, over there in the Sermon of the Mount? That scripture is just as true as the one found in Mark 16 and verse 16, which is maybe the one that we are a place where we like to preach. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And all I'm trying to illustrate to you here, I'm not trying to take away from what a straight command of God is asking for us, that we would be buried in waters of baptism. I'm trying to illustrate to you that that passage of Scripture has no more strength in it than the Scriptures that we have read, and that is to love your enemy as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. He that treats you in a bad way. Because you see, it's possible for any of us, I don't care who we might be, to put our own spin, if you will, into our understanding of how or what these passages are supposed to mean. That's what Peter was saying here when he said they twist this, they distort this, even the scriptures. And that could result in our own destruction. You see, God is the supreme court in the Bible. He is the one that provides the meaning and nobody else. What it says is what it means. That's why we try to do what the scripture tells us about. And we're not supposed to interpret that for our own, lest we find ourselves in a wrong place. We can hear and believe and understand what God has said, and we can be obedient to that. And it really leaves us with just a couple of options. We can twist or distort God's word to our own destruction, or we can hear it and believe it and understand it. The question is, right? How? How do we go about doing it? How do we live it? How do we find ourselves doing what it is that God has truly asked us to do? Have you lost that loving feeling? I mean, when it comes to the scriptures, you know, when it is no longer saying what it is that you're feeling. I hate to tell on myself, but I'm going to do it anyway. You know, the way you're feeling about something can be wrong. I had a little assignment yesterday afternoon, and I called on a friend to help me to do it, which he readily agreed. We were going to help our new members move a table into their house that they were going to go and pick up from their relatives up in Naples, Texas. And they were going to bring it back, and we were going to meet them at 4 o'clock over on Fordall Street where they live and help them unload it. So I sent a text to my friend, Mr. Bobby Davis, and I said, will you meet me over there at 4? We're going to help them unload a table, maybe some chairs, some other things. I didn't know what all they were getting, but I knew the table wasn't Brad's concern. He said, sure, I'll see you there. Well, I sent him the address. I went over to Fordall Street and said, hey, I'll be back just a little bit. We're going to go unload that table for him, help him out. I got over there to the address, and I looked and I looked, and I found no one there. And I thought, now what's the deal here? There's nobody here. I'm looking all around. I can't even find the house. I'm wondering what I should do. I said, well, the only thing I know to do is call them. I called them. You know, cell phones are a great thing, but you know, you have to answer them when they ring. Can I get an amen from somebody? I called them, they didn't pick up. I sent them a text. I said, well, my friend, he has that phone. He's like a hen on a bunch of eggs. He sits on his phone. I called my friend Bobby Davis. And guess what? It went to voicemail. I didn't know what to think about it, except it was about almost 20 minutes after, so I said, something's wrong here somewhere. I don't know what the deal is. I went back to the house. Came in the door. Rosemary says, what, you get it done? I said, nope. Nobody showed up. I left Bobby a notice on there. I said, well, you probably forgot about it, Bobby, but don't worry about it. I went over there, nobody was there. In a little bit, my phone rings, and it's my friend Bobby. He said, hey, man, don't worry about it. We already got that table unloaded. I said, what? You got the table unloaded? How did you do that? I said, I was all over that place over there, and I couldn't even see you. He says, well, they were right here on Fordall Street, just down below the... I was looking for 317. They lived and moved in at 713. Which was about a half a mile down the road around the corner over here, down across the little creek and so on. They were down there on the left unloading that thing. And what was I doing? Well, I was huffing around there saying, where in the world are they? I set this thing up to go help them, and they don't show up on me. Even the people that went to get the table, I wondered what in the world was wrong. Why didn't they just call me and say they were going to be late? Just because you feel something doesn't mean it's so. I hope I'm making a point with you. It's not about feeling, it's what is right. I was wrong. I had the wrong address. I was in the wrong place. It wasn't their fault, it was my fault. And that's exactly what Peter's telling us. That's exactly what I'm trying to enforce upon you today, this morning. What I'm trying to say to you, that loving God, when God tells us, to do something, He's expecting that we will do it. If you want to learn to increase your love for God, your neighbor, your spouse, yourself, or your enemy, you've got to do it by thinking and speaking good about them. I should have said, there's got to be something wrong with me because these good folks would not have told me that and not shown up and not called. We need to improve our own attitudes and think the good things about our fellow man. If we will do that, I think we might see a great increase in our love overnight. Do I need to even quote this one to you? Proverbs 23 and verse 7, you probably all have it memorized. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, that's been my trouble my whole life. You can say that you have forgiven a person, but if you haven't forgiven that person in your heart, look at me, people. If you haven't done that, it ain't done. And listen, I understand that it might take some time for that to happen. It might take some action from you to do it over and over enough for God to help you get out of you're not loving that person like you should. When somebody mentions the name, I'm just going to say, you know, of John Doe, do you think, what good thing do I know about him? Or do you think, man, that guy drives me nuts? Here's Paul's answer, Philippians 4, verse 8. You know it. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are just, whatso things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, do what, brethren? Think on these things. I know I'm winding up preaching longer than I should here, and I'm only through the first point. Let me tell you one other personal experience, and we'll be done. Several years ago, I had a husband and wife who were, they were having some marital problems, a lot of harsh criticism that became a way of life between the two of them, and I gave them, this is no secret, this is taught in probably every counseling textbook anyway, I said, look, I want you to go home. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a shoebox or a box or something and either put a slot in it or leave the lid so you can put it and cover it up. Put one box for you and one box for her. When you feel like criticizing the other, write down your feelings and drop them in the box. And at the end of 3 months, I want you to bring those back to me, and we'll read those notes in one sitting. Well, a couple of days later, I got a hold of the husband and said, we're going to rig this thing that I sent you to do. I said, I want you to make me a promise that everything you put in your box will be one of the attributes of the person, of your wife. Something good about her. No criticism. Something good about her. So when they came back, I purposely started with her, and she read all of the criticism she had about her husband. When we got done with those, we opened up the other box. Now, she doesn't know it's rigged, and I'm going to tell her. I told her afterwards. And it had things in there like, I love the way she smiles. I love the way she takes care of my laundry, or she takes care of this. She picks up after me. She does all these great things. He wrote in there every little thing he could think of that was positive. By the time we'd only read about half of them, she was crying. There's a great illustration there, brethren. If you got somebody you're trying to win over, think about the good things. Don't just think about them. Turn them into an action and do something about them. Make it good. That's how you'll learn to increase your love for another person. You don't have to try to call yourself a righteous brother. And you don't need to worry about singing about the feeling of love. Because love is far, much, much more than just a feeling. Love is a decision. Love is doing what you need to do when it's necessary to do it. That's how people stay together. And that's how people learn to love. And that is the reflection of the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not right? I'm not asking you to amen my sermon. I'm asking you to amen Jesus. Is that right? That's what he says. Now go thou and do likewise. I'm going to try to do the same. Let me encourage you with that. Learn to love one another. And let us be a family that loves one another.